Hey, what's going on, Outlander fans? This is Jenny Coco Cure, and this is episode 21 of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts. We are still doing the rewatch recap version of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts, where we're going back to season one and rewatching and then recapping those earlier episodes. We are now up to episode 6, entitled The Garrison Commander. Now, in this episode, like I said last week, it is pretty brutal. We have a pretty severe, pretty brutal whipping scene in this one. And like I said last week, even though I've watched this episode several times before, there are certain parts of the episode that I kind of cringe at and even go so far as to skip past sometimes. But this time, of course, I watched it because I'm doing the rewatch recap. So I watched it and made myself look at it so I can give an accurate recap, or at least as accurate as I am prone to do. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started with a recap this week. We left off last week with Claire being axed by the Redcoat Lieutenant. I think his name is Lieutenant Foster. He is the gentleman that she had seen in the village where she was with the women walking the wool and getting ready to pee in the pot to pour on the wool when Angus came in and, he had been looking for her and dragged her out. And, you know, he was real rude to her and mean. And then when she went to the other men and tried to take one of the goats to take it back to the women because one of the babies was hungry, you know, they got into a little bit of a shouting match. And this guy shows up asking Claire if she was okay. And she's like, she didn't say anything. She didn't get a chance to because all of the men that she was traveling with, pretty much threatened the guy. Like, what you gonna do? told him to mind his business, And he was all by himself. He was a British guy, but he was all by himself. So he couldn't take on all these Scottish guys on his own. So he backed down and left it at, at that. But when he came across Claire again, when she was being confronted by Dougal at the river's edge, he had his buddies with him. He had a bunch of redcoats with him. So he asked Claire again, "Madam, are you okay?" And of course, in last week's episode, we left off as with that question, being kind of hanging in the air, and Claire didn't answer. But at the beginning of this episode, she does answer. She says that she's cool and that she's a guest of Clan Mackenzie and that there's nothing wrong. The lieutenant says, "Well, be that as it may, my commander still would probably want to speak to you, and that he's held up at the inn at Brockton, and you need to come with me." So Dougal was like, "Well, if she goes, I go." So he goes with her, and they all ride to the inn where the soldiers are stationed. The lieutenant takes Claire and Dougal to meet the general. And the general is this kind of sedity guy, in the wig, of course, and all the other officers in the room. They're sitting down to a meal, and they are all wearing the wigs and the red coats, and they look all posh and bougie. But the general seems to be very excited to meet Claire, saying that the lieutenant had told him of her tales where she was living with these Scottish people, and oh, how horrible she must feel being in these people's company. And Claire, she tries to stick up for the Scots, saying, "Hey, well, it wasn't so bad. I was treated well, and everybody's been kind to me. I have no complaints." So, the general asked to be introduced to Dougal, And the lieutenant introduces Dougal, but when Dougal speaks on his own, he speaks in his, you know, in his dialect. And it's very unpolished, to say the least. So after Dougal introduces himself, the general is very sadiddy, saying, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't understand a thing the creature said. I'm like, ooh, okay, creature, jeez. And one of the other gentlemen sitting at the table tries to translate. And then the general is like, well, the way that they speak sure is offensive to the ear. And then Claire pipes up and it's like, well, you know, there are some people in England that are just as unintelligible, you know, in certain areas. And, you know, and he was like, well, yeah, that is true. You know, and it would be nice if everybody spoke like Londoners, you know. And Dougal was like, well, if you want to hear people from London speak, why didn't you stay in London? Which I'm thinking, that's a good point. Of course, the general is offended by this. He's like, I would love to stay in London, but you people don't know how to act. You know, so we got to come out here fighting wars with you motherfuckers. If you knew how to act the way you should as subjects of the crown or of what is it called? Of the United Kingdom or whatever, then we wouldn't have to be out here with all that nonsense, you know. So, you know, then he starts to joke about Dougal's skirt and not skirt, but he starts to, you know, he starts to basically insult Dougal on the slide, talking about he could become a laird if he stayed out there long enough, but then he'd have to get one of those woolen skirts, referring to the kilt. You know, one of the guys at the table's like, it's called a kilt. He says, I know what it's called. You know, so clearly he's just being offensive. Then he starts to ask Dougal a question about what's under the kilt. And Claire's like, look, y'all are tripping. Why don't you calm down and stop being idiotic? You know, and the general was like, yeah, you're right. Okay, look, and he says to Dougal, look, we're getting ready to sit down to eat. Why don't you make yourself scarce? Because we don't have enough of you. So, you know, go on downstairs and do something with yourself. Dougal's like, I don't want none of this bullshit anyway. I'm going to go down and have some good Scottish ale. So he said to Claire, he'd be downstairs, and then he leaves. So they sit down to eat, and Claire is regaling her tales. I'm sure putting a nice spin on it about how her time has been staying with the Scots. And, you know, they eat and drink and, you know, have a seemingly posh and lovely time. And then at one point, Claire says that she would like to go back to Inverness to go home. And the general agrees. He's like, yes, we'll make arrangements for you to do that. And then suddenly, someone barges in to the room and it turns out to be Black Jack Randall. And Claire, of course, immediately remembers him because, of course, he attacked her when she first got there from her own time. You know, her first confrontation with him was when she arrived from through the stones and saw him and thought he was Frank. So, of course, she recognizes him immediately. And he comes in, you know, not noticing her initially. And he says to the general, sir, did you know that War Chieftain Dougal Mackenzie is downstairs quaffing ale? And the general was like, yeah, we know that. You know, he's the one that brought Mrs. Beecham to us. So he looks around Blackjack and he sees Claire and he freezes. He notices or remembers her, of course, from when he first ran into her in the forest. And they stare at each other. And the general notices them staring. And he says, is it my imagination or do you two know each other? And Blackjack is like, you know, I thought so for a minute, but nah, No, I don't think so. And Claire's like, yeah, I thought so too for a minute, but nah, we don't. So the general, he had initially gotten mad when Blackjack first barged in because he was kind of dirty. And he was like, you need to get some of that dust off you before you come in here ruining our meal with your dirtiness. So so Blackjack, he went back to the door and he begins kicking it, knocking dirt off his boots. And then he flaps his coat around and pats his arms down like he's trying to dust himself off. Of course, he's doing it in the most sarcastic and facetious way, making everyone in the room uncomfortable. And then when he comes back in, he's like, so, am I good enough now? Am I clean? Are we good? So the general's like, yeah, whatever. Get him a glass of wine. And Blackjack was like, I don't want none of that shit. So, when he comes in, after that? I think he starts to talk about how he didn't understand why Dougal McKenzie was downstairs. And, you know, and they were saying, well, he brought Mrs. Beecham and, you know, we don't have no beef with him. And, Blackjack was like, oh, so we friends with the Scots now. I didn't know that. I didn't know we had Scottish friends, you know. And he said, I think that Private so-and-so, I can't remember the soldier's name. He named a soldier that he felt would probably agree with him if he were able. And everybody in the room, except Claire, of course, has this somber look on their face. And then the general was like, look, let's not bring that up. It's unpleasant. You might give Mrs. Beecham the vapors. And she's like, oh, I don't easily swoon. And she looks at Blackjack, what are you talking about? So he starts to talk about this story about how this private had wandered away from his squadron. And when they found him the next day, he was sitting down tied to a tree with his hands folded in his lap. And Claire was like, oh, well, that just sounds like a prank. What's the big deal? And he says, well, he was holding his head in his lap, his severed head. So Claire was like, oh, well, that was a sad day for him. And, when he got stationed here. And Lieutenant Thomas said, yeah, sad day for all of us. And Blackjack was like, is that all you have to say? And Claire was kind of like, well, you know, when we were coming up here, we saw two dead Highlanders with T's in their chests, nailed to some crosses. And one of the men at the table were like, well, that just sounds like English justice to me. And she's like, oh, okay, English justice. So y'all kill people as English justice. They kill people as their savagery. Okay, I get you. You know? And Blackjack, you know, he stirs the pot a little bit, trying to get her to say what he knows she'll say. And it works like a charm. She walks right into his trap. She says, look, Scottish people just want the same freedom as us. We're occupying their land. They just want, you know, the same thing we want. You know, we don't even belong here. We're occupying their land. And when she says that, you could hear a pin drop. And the lieutenant is giving her the side eye like, what? He's like, I believe you mean the king's land, don't you? And Claire realizes she done fucked up and she looks at him and she's like, I am a supporter of the king, I assure you. And then Blackjack was like, well, you know, I think she's been around these savages a little too long. She needs to go home. And the general was like, I agree. She needs to get back to her family pronto. So then suddenly this other soldier barges in saying that they had been attacked and that a couple of men had been wounded and one was dead. And one of the wounded men was in severe condition downstairs, but they couldn't find a surgeon. So Claire jumps up talking about, oh, I can help. And then when she notices that everybody's staring at her, she's like, oh, I told you I had medical experience, you know. So she barges downstairs and, You know, when she sees Dougal, she tells him to make himself scarce because, you know, things could get ugly soon and that she would be fine. So she goes over to this man, this soldier, who is severely injured. His arm is practically hanging off by the joint. And she says that this arm is going to have to be amputated. It's going to have to come off. Finally, the surgeon shows up and asks her if she knows what she's doing. She's like, yeah, I have medical experience. So she assists while the surgeon puts some kind of stick in the guy's mouth, tells him to bite down, and gets a saw and proceeds to saw the man's arm off. And it's, of course, quite brutal. And when they're done with that, after everything is said and done, Claire goes back upstairs to finish talking to the general, but he and all of the other soldiers are gone. And the only people in the office are Blackjack and another young soldier who is giving Blackjack a shave. And Claire is like, where's the general? And Blackjack is like, they had to leave. It's just me. So as the young man is giving Blackjack a shave, at one point he nicks him and he was like, "Ooh, I'm so sorry." And Blackjack gets up out of the chair and makes the young man sit down. "You don't know, what are you doing? Let me show you how to give a shave." And he takes the razor and puts it against the dry skin of the young man, moves it up very slowly, telling him you have to have steady hands to do this sort of thing. And it's creepy because after he's done, he pats the young man on the face and says, my, aren't you the beardless boy or something like that. I think he probably had a little arousal or something for that. You know, I don't know, because we know Blackjack has some very peculiar. Well, we don't know this yet, but we will be learning it soon. He's got some very peculiar sexual interests. So at any rate, he lets the boy get up, tells him to take his shaving kit and supplies back to his room. And when he's left alone with Claire, they sit down and he proceeds to question her. He asks her, you know, again, where she's from. He wants to know what's going on with her. And she proceeds to lie. She tells this lie about, you know, how she came to be in the woods when he found her and what she was doing there. And he didn't believe a word she was saying. In fact, he started to draw as she was talking. And, you know, she's looking at him drawing and he's making her nervous, but she still, you know, tells the story that she, you know, tells. And then when she's done with it, he's like, okay, whatever you say. Look, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Come and look at this. So she gets up and looks at his drawing and sees that he has drawn a picture of her. And she's like, wow, that's a really good likeness. He says, you think so? He says, I call it beautiful lies. So then he proceeds to ask her, or rather he tells her, I happen to know that Dougal McKenzie is raising money for a Jacobite rebellion. And since you have been staying with these people for the last few months, surely you have heard something. And Claire's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I don't believe you. You are going to supply me with the proof that I need so that I can take Dougal McKenzie into custody. I know that he's doing this. I just lack the proof. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. He's not buying it, though. So, you know, he basically calls her a bold-faced lie. You know, and says, I wouldn't believe you if you told me that night was dark and day was bright. She said, look, we don't need to keep going around in circles. What I'm going to do is sit my ass right here and wait for Lord Thomas to come back and leave my hands in his fate. If you want to leave me under guard, so be it. I don't care. I won't protest. So Blackjack says to her, look, you're not leaving this room until I believe that you are as innocent as you say you are. And if you don't want to talk and tell me what I need to know, well, I will use other methods to get you to talk. And Claire was like, well, I've heard about your methods. And she said, you have quite the reputation back at Castle Leok. I heard that you once flogged a young Highlander boy 100 times back to back. And, Black Jack was like, well, oh, okay, so you're talking about the little thief and murderer? And she says, I heard he had only stolen a loaf of bread. And Black Jack says, so Dougal told you that, Dougal McKenzie? And then Black Jack starts to tell her his version of the story of how he came to give Jamie, who is this poor Highlander boy, these 100 lashes back to back. He explains that at first, Jamie got his first 100 lashes for trying to escape from one of the corporals. And he said that the corporal, you know, was experienced, you know, in giving lashes, but that Jamie did not cry out. And for some reason, the crying out is something that they need, they require. Because to not cry out means that you're being insolent. You are being disobedient. You are being defiant. And because he did not cry out, this was considered an insult to the crown, according to Black Jack. So Black Jack decided he was going to administer another 100 lashes. So they show at this point the scene where Jamie is they do a flashback. And this is the hard part, guys. They do a flashback where Jamie is taking off his still bloodied shirt and showing his back, which is extremely damaged from a recent flogging. Lots of crisscross welts and blood and not quite healed lashes all across his back, all over. So he's taking the shirt off, folding it up, even though it's a bloody mess, like he wants to salvage the shirt to put it aside. And then he goes to stand at the post and allows himself to be shackled to it. Black Jack kind of walks around him, taunting him a little bit. And says, you're shaking, he says to Jamie. Jamie says, I'm afraid I'll freeze to death before you're done talking. You know, so he's trying to be a badass, but Black Jack knows that he's afraid. So he gets out the whip, the cat of nine tails, and he starts whipping. And it's bad. I mean bad. The first lash immediately opens up the not quite healed wounds, and they start to pour blood and just whip after whip after whip. And as he's describing it to Claire in, you know, real time, and we're still seeing the flashback. Well, no, we go back to the scene with Black Jack and Claire in the office. She's sitting there listening. She's got tears in her eyes as she's listening to this. And he's just talking about how the people in the audience were gasping and watching, and that he was, you know, and no, he was describing how he could tell that it hurt the boy, but he would not cry out. He just refused to cry out. He said he could tell that it was painful because of how the whip would judder and cause the jolt to move up his arm, and it was painful to him. So he knew it had to be painful for the boy, but that boy would not cry out. He refused. And at one point, one of his officers fainted because of how bad it was getting. And the audience laughed at the guy fainting. And Black Jack was upset by this. Like, this ain't funny. How dare you laugh while I'm sitting up here doing something so serious? So that makes him angry, and he starts to really lay into Jamie, even though he was already laying into him. But he really started to kind of, you know, whip up, whip down, whip side to side, just really, really tearing his back up. People in the audience are gasping, they're closing their eyes. Some people start to cry. And Jamie is hanging there by these shackles, and blood starts to come out of his mouth, and his back is so tore up that you can see bits of flesh and skin just hanging off of it. It's just a bloody, mangled mess. And you would think somebody would die from that. It just looked that bad. So they go back to the scene with Claire sitting in the chair, with still with those tears in her eyes, being quiet, and Blackjack describing how the people in the audience thought that what was happening was horrible, but they were stupid because it was beautiful. What he and the boy were doing, what they were creating, was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. You know, and Claire is just staring. She doesn't know what to say. And he looks at her and he's like, I'm sure you think I'm a monster now. He talks about how being in Scotland has changed him, how being amongst these people and seeing how ignorant they are and how uncivilized they are just makes him just want to do these terrible things. And he doesn't like doing it, but, you know, it's just what has happened to him since he's been there. And it's just something that he can't control. And it's like he's trying to relate to her that he can't help how he is, but he wants to, that he doesn't want to be this dark, you know, terrible, monstrous person. But being in this place in Scotland and being deployed here, he's a soldier. He's just trying to do his job for the crown, but that he just can't help how being in this place is making him act and feel. And Claire, you know, lying through her teeth, but she's trying to talk to him like a person. You know, she's like, well, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. She's like, you know, as long as you are sorry for it, then, you know, you can be a better person. You can do better, you know. And he's like, you really think so? She's like, yes. And then he says, I guess I can be better by helping you get back to Inverness. And she kind of smiles a little bit. And he's like, oh, I've made you happy. She's like, yes. He's like, well, let's see about doing that. And then he calls his Corporal Hawkins, you know, and the young man comes in. He's like, me and Mrs. Beecham are going to need you for something. And he stood up and he extends his hand to help Claire up. And just as she stands up, he takes his fist and punches her right in the gut. I mean, a terrible hard gut punch, bending her in half where she crumples to the floor and breath is gone. He knocks all of the wind out of her. Corporal Hawkins is standing in the doorway horrified, but probably not that surprised, because he doesn't seem like he's, even though he seems horrified, he doesn't seem all that shocked. Surely this is something that this man is known for. Blackjack is, this is not the first woman he's punched, I'm quite sure. So he tells Corporal Hawkins to come over there, and he says, have you ever kicked a woman? Looking down at Claire, she's still on the floor trying to catch her breath. Oh, I forgot. Before he calls the corporal over, he pulls Claire's hair back and says, I belong in darkness, and darkness is where I shall remain. You know, because, you know, like he had said to her earlier, he didn't want to be how he was, but after he punches her, he says, oh, I'm exactly where I belong. So anyway, he calls the corporal over and asks the corporal, have you ever kicked a woman? And the corporal's like, sir, have you ever kicked a woman? And the corporal's like, no. And Blackjack's like, kick her. And the corporal looks down. He's hesitant. And, you know, Blackjack says it again, kick her. And so the corporal kind of punts her a little bit, very lightly. And he's like, kick her, you milksop. So then the corporal rears his foot back and really kicks Claire, to the point where the little breath she was trying to catch left her again. So then Blackjack was like, there you go. See, women, they're so soft. It's so easy. Kick her again, you know. So the corporal was getting ready to kick her again. Then Dougal busts in and picks Claire up off the floor. What the hell are y'all doing? And he's like, this is a guest of Clan McKenzie. You can't keep her here. I'm taking her away. And Blackjack was like, you don't have any right to her. She's an English citizen. I'm questioning her. She's not going anywhere. And Dougal's like, unless you want a war here today, you're going to let me go and I'm going to take her with me. And Blackjack kind of sits there and he's like, all right, you know what? Go ahead and take her, but you better have her back here tomorrow. And she better have some answers for my questions. And Dougal's like, whatever. So he takes Claire and leaves. They, you know, get on their horses and ride out. And they keep riding until they get to this spring or a lake or whatever for a drink of water. Dougal says, this is a place where we can have some water. So Claire gets off her horse and immediately gets down to drink it, but notices that the water has a stink to it. And Dougal's like, yeah, it does smell, but it still will quench your thirst. So Claire drinks and Dougal watches her, but he takes his knife out. And he holds it behind his back and he says, now, are you a spy for the English or the Irish or something along those lines? And Claire gets up, you know, and says, we still on this shit? I have told you I am not a spy for anybody. I am just Claire Beecham. That's it. Okay, you're going to ask me again or what? So Dougal stands there staring at her for a good few minutes. And then he takes his knife and puts it back in his, you know, little pouch or whatever and says, okay, I'm good. So Claire's like, what? You was finna stab me or something? And he was like, I wouldn't have wanted to. I mean, you're a handsome woman and it would have hurt to do that. But if you was a spy, yeah, I'd have took you out. And she was like, well, what convinced you not to? Why do you think I'm telling the truth now? And he tells her, this spring here is cursed. And you drink the water. If you had been lying, your gizzard would have been burnt right out. But since your gizzard wasn't burnt out, you must be telling the truth. And Claire's like, a magic spring? He's like, you're a healer. Don't you believe in magic? So Claire's like, okay, whatever. Look, she's like, all right, so now you believe it. That's great. So now what? Blackjack is not going to care about me drinking no magic water. So what are we going to do about tomorrow? And Dougal explains that, well, if before we take you back to, you know, Blackjack tomorrow, we make you into a Scot. And if you're a Scottish citizen, there's nothing that they would be able to do. They can't touch you. And Clara's like, make me a Scot. How do you do that? And Dougal says, the only way to make you a Scot is for you to marry one. And Clara's like, oh, hell no, I ain't marrying nobody. Who am I supposed to marry, you? And Dougal's like, well, and this is another one of my favorite lines. As much as I would love to grind your corn, that is not going to be me. I didn't have me in mind. And Clara was like, not you. Okay, then, well, who? So then in the next scene, Claire is sitting, you know, on a rock, reading her, you know, written up marriage contract. And it has Jamie's and her names on it. So she's sitting there looking at this paperwork, and eventually Jamie comes up with this bottle and two cups, a bottle of liquor and two cups. So he sits down with her and gives her a cup and pours her a little liquor and pours himself some. And Claire's like, "So you agreed to this?" And Jamie's like, "Yeah, why not?" And she's like, "Because this is marriage. This is serious. I mean, don't you have somebody?" And Jamie's like, "Oh, you mean my promise? Nah, nobody wants me. I mean, I'm a felon. I'm wanted. I don't have no money. I don't have anything. All I have is a soldier's pay. I'm not much of a prospect." And she's like, but why would you want to just marry me?" And he's like, "Well, you've mended my wounds. You know, you've helped me. And the least I can do is help you out." You know, so she's like, "Okay." And, you know, he gets ready to get up to walk away. And then she's like, "Well, doesn't it bother you, though, that I'm not a virgin?" And he's like, "Well, no. As long as it doesn't bother you that I am." And she looks at him like, huh? I'm sure she's thinking, "Wait a minute, what about Leary?" But I guess all she saw was that they were kissing. There was nothing more than that. So, you know, Jamie walks off with that, you know, nugget that he had tossed her away. And she sits there, you know, stunned. Wow, okay. So, you know, after a moment, you know, Jamie has gone to talk to the other men, and then they notice that Claire is coming their way. She's walking all determined. You know, the background music starts to swell. She still has the, she comes up with she still has the contract in her hand. But when she comes up, she sees that Dougal has the bottle of liquor. She takes it from him and keeps walking past them like she's upset or angry or whatever. And Jamie looks like, okay. She doesn't look all that excited to be marrying me, but oh well. So she keeps walking, and then the scene ends, and that is the end of the episode. So that was The Garrison Commander. And aside from the beating scene, the whipping scene, and even the whole Claire being with Blackjack scene, which is terribly intense, terribly, you know, anxiety building, you know, I mean, that whole scene, especially when you watch it for the first time, just keeps you on the edge of your seat. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? Because you know he's crazy. You know he's capable of anything. You know, so the whole time you're worried about Claire. So when you see it for the first time and that punch comes, ooh, it just takes you out. Like, oh God, you know. And then the kicking and it's just so brutal. But nothing compares to that freaking whipping scene. Oh my God, that scene was so hard to watch. And even though I have watched it a few times, at least half a dozen times, I've watched that scene. That particular scene, I have not watched it a half a dozen times. Maybe I have watched it from beginning to end, that specific scene, the whipping scene. I've probably watched it from beginning to end 3 times. In all these years, because even though I have watched the Garrison Commander episode at least 10 times, minimum 10 times, that is just one scene that I cannot stomach. If you haven't seen it, then you should see it at least once, because it's for no other reason. The prosthetic that they use on his back is so realistic looking. The way that when Blackjack is using the cat of nine tails, you can see the slashes being created. Like when the whip hits, the skin moves, the blood spurts a little bit more. It's just, God, it was really, I don't know if they just made a special prosthetic. Maybe You know what? I should know this now because I'm sure it has been explained on the internet or probably elsewhere, how they created the illusion of his flesh being torn. But it looks like maybe they had maybe like a special prosthetic that had blood under it, that when the cat of nine tails would strike, it would rip into the prosthetic and cause it to look like torn flesh. And then there was blood in it, so the blood would pour out. And yeah, I mean, it makes sense if they did it like that. But oh my God, if that's how they did it, wouldn't that be like so dangerous for Sam's actual back? Like maybe his actual back might get nicked a time or two. Matter of fact, I think I remember Sam saying that Jack had gotten that Tobias had gotten a little happy with that cat of nine tails a couple of times, and that he had actually gotten, you know, really hit with it maybe once or twice or more. But that for the most part, he was okay and protected. But yeah, he might have gotten a strike here and there. Nothing too bad, but enough to sting and for him to notice. So, yeah, there's going to be many more episodes of brutality in this show. But yeah, this is definitely the first one where you see some serious, serious brutality. And you get a real sense of just what and who Black Jack Rendell is. And it ain't good. So anyway, that's it for this week's episode. Next week, we are going to be up to our favorite episode, everybody's favorite episode, which is the wedding. Everybody loves the wedding. Nobody wants to miss that one. So make sure you tune in for that one next week. In the meantime, guys, I am out of here. Take care. Have a good week. I hope everybody tunes in again next week. We'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.